from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 133. It's a special episode, Drabby, because we have our third ever guest in the studio. It is the official Tony P. You know him. Superstar. I compared you when we were out golfing yesterday, and I couldn't believe the people that came up to you who wanted pictures and videos.
Yeah.
I compared you to a beetle. You are a modern day beetle, Tony P. Welcome in studio.
Thank you. I mean, guys, you guys are too kind to me. I need you as my hype guys all the time when I'm on the road. Oh my God. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here. As you all know, I love this type of stuff, radio, TV. So it's so great to be in the studio.
Yeah, you always kind of joke around. You're like a 55-year-old guy in a 25-year-old body.
Got it.
And the fact that you like radio and you love radio, it's so on brand for you.
I told Drab, I said, he goes, is he really going to want to do radio with us? I said, Tony's an old soul. If anything, he loves radio.
Right.
And we were right.
I am glad you picked up on that, because it's funny. When I was in Boston, you know, most of my life, that's where I'm from, I always, driving into high school, I had about a 45-minute drive, right? And I would drive in, and I'd be having a big test that day, whatever, and I would always listen to sports radio just to calm me down and also be okay with the traffic that I had coming in. So radio's been a part of my life forever. It's how my dad and I really got close, listening to sports radio together. So I love this. This is awesome.
Well, Tony, I got to tell you, man, first of all, that's great to hear. And I've been following you for a couple of years. I always tell Valdez, I said, I discovered Tony. I always brag about it. You know, probably 2 years ago, I mean this as a compliment. So whenever you first discover Tony, you're scrolling through the reels and it pops up, right? And your first thought is, what did I just watch? Like, what was that? And right. And then you probably just keep going. And then you go, that was kind of interesting. It was about DC. And then it comes up again 2 days later and you're like, I think I like that. And then you're like, I need more Tony P in my life. And then you, next thing you know, you're following him. There's a certain charm about you, because what you do on Instagram is not like the content you see out there. And I think that's what's so refreshing about you.
Thank you.
Is that, you know, you can get guys doing pranks on the street, or you can get girls, or you can do whatever you want. But you found a way, your niche, but your niche is just who you are. And I think that's pretty cool, man.
Thank you. No, it's really, I love how you broke that down, because I actually come from a market research consulting background. So I love looking at kind of like a user testing, if you will, and how people actually get attracted to my content. That was really well said.
I've never seen Draft smile so big.
I'm like, that was really well said. And I actually never seen it laid out like that, because for me, I have no idea why people follow me. I really don't.
That was one of the questions I had.
I have none. It's
weird.
It's weird because I'm just being me. And a lot of people in my comment section will be like, oh, he's no way he's real. It's a satire. Yeah. Is, you know, they'll make cracks about me and, you know, bad jokes, whatever. But this is who I am. I mean, I couldn't act this out if I tried. So
this is exactly his personality on the golf course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like, you know, I know, you know, I was a fan of yours. I am a fan of yours, so I know all your content, your videos, and everything. And I was very curious to see if there was any kind of difference between the guy that you see on Instagram and the guy who's teeing it up.
Right.
And there is none. It's It's genuine. It's not shtick. Remember when we would have Gilbert Gottfried in studio, and you're always like,
"You get Gilbert on here? Oh my god!"
for many years, yeah, we miss him.
I was gonna say you're an old soul.
You probably know Gilbert.
I know. He's probably a P1 for problem child.
The Comedy Central roast he used to do were so funny.
Oh yeah.
But remember, like, when we would have him in studio, and then you would be like, you would kind of catch him out of character.
Yeah.
Like Gilbert was a character.
Yeah, he was
that whole
character.
Thing
yeah.
was uh-huh. a character. And sometimes you would catch him out of character.
Right.
And that's what I thought I would see with you when we were hanging out yesterday. I was like, at some point there's going to be an instance where he's not really Tony P in DC. He's a dude putting on a facade. But and that's not true. That's not true at all. Tony is a genuine dude. He's an old soul. He's not faking it. This is who he is.
Does that frustrate you? That people think you're, when they see yourself, that you can't be that real person?
It's funny. I had a teacher in high school. When I graduated from high school, he told me this. I was in a senior year English class. And he said, "I got to be honest with you. The first time I met you a year and a half ago, I thought you weren't real. There's no way you could be this positive and happy and kind." I hate to be kind of bragging saying that, but that's those are his words.
That's fine.
Those are his words. And he said, I got to know you over the year and a half and had class with you and taught you. And you really are that person, and it sort of shocks me. And that was with a lot of people. I remember having friends of mine who would tell me about friends of theirs who met me, and they would make the same comments. There's no way he's real. He's a fraud, whatever. And then they would get to know me more and go, "Oh my God, this guy's real." And I think that's part of, I think, our world today where everybody's very cynical. Because, again, we have content on social media. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses and putting on a facade. So I'm not shocked. I'm not frustrated. I've experienced it my whole life when it comes to in-person interaction. But also, with the way content is today, we see it as this, you know, facade, you know, how many hot takes can I make and how controversial can I be without just being kind of mundane but also really genuine. And for me, it would be exhausting for me to act this out. I used to do plays when I was in high school and college.
That's a great point.
Like, it'd be exhausting for me to act as a character. I mean, I would never sleep if that was the case. And I could never wake up every day and lie to my audience and say, like, "Oh, this is not who I am. I'm just faking."
Do you feel the pressure of not having a bad day? Like, everybody has bad days or bad moments, right? And you are always now in the spotlight. Everyone's looking at you everywhere you go in this city. People know who you are.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, I can't slip up, or people are going to say I'm a phony, or I'm not the real guy? Like that stress would get to me.
It does. No, I do find stress.
Because everybody has horrible moments.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and no one's perfect.
And I'm someone, just to be totally transparent, I'm someone who suffered with anxiety and depression. I had a 10-year odyssey that started in high school that, I did some, things that I'm not proud of. And I had mental health struggles and, really dealt with that type of level of depression. And for me, I look at when I see people on the street or see people like at different parties or whatever, and they want to take a picture with me. I want to serve people. I'm here to serve my audience. I'm here to serve people because they've given me the platform where I can come on shows like this, where I can be on Fox, where I can be on national TV sometimes, and like those type of things are because of those viewers who tuned in and were into it. So I owe it to them to be at my best. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I also, my innate nature is to serve the audience, and I want them to feel good when they meet me. Maybe they're having a bad day and they see me on social media, they see me in person, and I take a picture with them. If that helps someone smile a little bit more, but the world we're living in, I've done my job. And like I think I get my happiness from service, not from, "Oh, Tony P's so great." It's that, I maybe made someone happy today. That's where I get my kicks from.
How did it start? Like, I need the origin story. I need to know, all of a sudden you were just bored and turned the camera on and posted a video.
Well, this will be for anybody who's single out there and dating. This will actually be a pretty good story for them. So I went through back-to-back breakups here in DC. When I first came here, I was dating a lot. Hinge, Raya, all the apps I could find I was on. And I dated a lot. And I finally met a couple people that I really wanted to be with. And back to back, I had breakups after about 4 months of dating each time. And I was really struggling. And I was, doing decently at my job, but I was just so unfulfilled. So a boss of mine was saying, "Hey, you should do something that you've been looking to do, you've been trying to do, but you really haven't had the guts to do it yet,
mm-hmm.
this might be the time to pursue that new hobby and pursue that new dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always had this broadcasting background. I had given it up for about a year and a half because I was in public accounting for a little while. I was working a lot. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do both. So I said, you know what? Let me try to put out some stuff more like on camera just to get that creative exercise going.
Juices flowing.
Juices, like just kind of be on camera again and express myself and get the same feeling that I received when I was doing broadcasting all those years. So I started doing it with the fits and kind of doing my arm roll. And the arm roll thing just kind of came out
off.
That came out of nowhere. Because everybody in D.C., every politician has their arms like this when they're in like their portrait, the Senate portraits, right? I go on Capitol Hill a lot and I see the arm rolled, like the arms folded. Mm-hmm. There was a senator years ago named Senator Fred Thompson. He used to be on Law and Order too.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to do the same thing on Law and Order. He had like the really menacing arm roll. So I was like, well, what if I created that? And what if I made it, what if I did what happens before the arm roll's finished, right? So if I do the whole like big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started doing that to get people locked in and motivated and ready to take on the day. And that's where it started. And then I started doing, you know, recaps of my week and the weekend in a talk show narration format because I love broadcasting. I just love telling a story. What if I did that?
Every time you say that, I get so happy. I love broadcasting.
I do.
You just don't hear that a lot anymore.
It is the only thing in my life that I've ever felt comfortable with. And when I've done it, it's just felt like it's natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like consulting. I loved accounting. But it was always a struggle. It was always this, like, I had to, like, just...
And plus, it's not as fun as this.
No, it's not. And, like, and for this, I think I get to use more of the skills that I have. I mean, I'm not a big... I'm the worst Excel guy on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, I just feel, you know, and I have a lot to learn. I have a lot more to grow. I have a lot of flaws in my game, believe me. But I just feel so comfortable, and I just feel in love with this.
So the goal was never to maybe outgrow your consulting job or anything like that. You never saw it blowing up.
It was an outlet.
This was an outlet. Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
I thought maybe 5 or 10,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And my goal was, hey, here's a life, a quirky 25-year-old bachelor, old soul. Here's what I do besides drinking on Saturday night. I go out and have dinner parties, or I play golf with the boys. Like, that's what I wanted to show, is like giving people permission to say, okay, you know what? You can be a little bit quirky and have a good time.
Yeah. Your night isn't always epic.
Right. And you can define epic in different ways.
Exactly.
It can be going out dinner party or watching, you know, going to a movie with your buddies, whatever it is. And like acting like a 35-year-old and a 25-year-old's buddy. You can do that too.
Like, but when did it like really take off? Mm. Like all of a sudden you're making these videos and you're making them for you. You're making them just for like your mental health almost.
Right.
As an escape. When all of a sudden, like by like video 5, video 10, it starts to rocket ship.
It was about 2.5 months in. So I had made about at least 70, 80 videos.
So you're making like a video a day.
I started two a day and I still do two a day sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it the morning fit, and I was doing recap, a morning fit cooking, morning fit something. And I was getting 20 likes, and my aunt Colleen is the best, one of my biggest supporters. She was commenting on everything and like, you know, really trying to boost it. And then July 20th, I think, 2023, I did a week recap of my entire week. And I did a couple cool things. We had like a work happy hour. We had a work event. We went to like the spy museum, and I had a bunch of stuff that week that was really, really cool. And I got 50,000 views. And I got like my first 1,000 like posts. I'm like, wow, okay, this is pretty interesting. And then as we kept going, it kept being 30,000, 40,000 people viewing it. And then once August came around, then it started to pop 150,000, 200,000, 4,000 likes, 5,000 likes, 10,000.
But you weren't doing anything different.
Nothing different. It was I just kept doing it and kept doing
That's the key.
And I think it started getting shared more. And then it resonated with more people and more people. Then DC started to see it. And then it really hit a crescendo in late August when Big Cat Barstool did part of the yak about me and did like a whole segment on me. And Big Cat's one of my heroes in this business because he has built an incredible just brand, and he's been able to just diversify it so well. And he talks about sports really in just a great way. He makes it easy for the listener to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is so funny. And so like hearing him talk about me, my cousin sent me the video. I'm like, he's talking about me? Like Big Cat, I had like 20,000 followers at the time. And he helped me really go viral. And then I started getting 4,000 or 5,000 followers a day to him.
What did he say about it?
He just talked about how like, he was just really blown away by how genuine it was and how just, you know, talking about just everyday life and doing it so positively. He just couldn't believe that there was someone. That
there's just someone on the internet
who's that's actually like, positive. Yeah. And the guys on the Yak and Connor Mook and those guys, they're so nice. And they were like, at some point we'll have them in here and we'll break them. Don't worry. Uh-huh. That's so funny. And they were really just so supportive of it. And they really liked it. And they talked about it not just once, but twice on the Yak. And I couldn't believe it. And just
that's what really exploded.
That helped
it,
me make it explode, and then that got me to like from like 20 to like 60,000 followers, 80,000 followers, and then the Washington Post came calling.
Yeah,
in September, right?
Yeah, and they did a whole piece on me. So they were redoing their style section, and I was one of their first subject matters, right? And they did a whole page on me, and I sat with the reporter for 3 days, talking about my life and my story and why I'm doing this, and then that went around, and then I started getting a lot of, like, you know, the White House people to follow me and people mm-hmm. inside the Beltway, the real kind of like, the, you know, the
inside DC.
The insiders started mm-hmm. following yes. me. And that's when I got introduced to people like Zach Leonsis and, his team and how great they are. Pete, owner of Echo Stage, was basically like my uncle. And
really? Yeah, Pete's a good guy.
We love Pete. Pete's one of my favorite human beings. He is, and he's actually on vacation. I miss him. He's on vacation right now. And he's just fantastic. Him, Vinoda, those guys, people from the White House, it all started to follow me and reach out. And
it's actually, he's not great. In person, he's not that different than the Junkies in the fact that, the Junkies have been around, I know you haven't lived here forever, but so they've been doing the show for 30 years. They're not the best broadcasters. They don't know more than anybody, but they are truly authentic in who they are. And I think people appreciate, that's what people appreciate about Big Cat. And, right. and that's what people, like, eventually, if it's a gimmick or you're pretending
you're going
to
get caught.
People are just going to get tired of you. But the fact that you when you are who you are over and over and over again, I think that is what people really appreciate.
Oh, 100%.
There was something I did want to ask you about, though, and maybe you could help sell me on it. And this is kind of like a little deep, but I know you talk about this stuff all the time, and I do appreciate it. Is the vibrant masculinity, right? Yeah. So I think you've defined it as, vibrant masculinity is you can be a guy and like guy things, but don't be afraid necessarily to like things and to be involved in things that people might think are embarrassing. For lack of a better phrase, right? And you also talk about being open and your anxiety and a lot of things that people are afraid to do and to talk about.
That don't seem manly.
So there's a family member of mine who sees a therapist often. And this person has been trying to sell me on seeing a therapist as well. Not necessarily because I'm messed up, but they believe that it's great for everyone. And I think that you feel the same way. But I'm so reluctant to that, or I think I don't need therapy because I don't feel like I have any problems that I need to discuss.
Mm. Okay.
But
same take.
At the same time, I don't feel comfortable talking to people about my problems because I feel like
it's not macho.
It's not macho, and it's nobody cares, work harder. Right.
Yeah.
That kind of mindset. So sell me a little bit. If that's the wrong word, but tell me like the benefit of, as a guy, what can I get out of therapy? Because you've been open about that, about seeing a therapist.
This is real. I'm so glad you asked this, and thank you for being vulnerable asking me that. Because first of all, you just did that. You just did a great thing by doing that. But with vibrant masculinity, I think first thing I'll say about the toxic versus positive, I hate that delineation.
Mm-hmm.
I just like certain types of expression, being vibrant, being bright. I think that's how I view being vibrantly masculine. Like just embracing warmth, being engaging, being passionate, not just embracing emotions of vulnerability and crying, things like that, but also being excited. And so sometimes guys were told, like, hey, tone it down a little bit. Like, it's okay to be excited. I love that. So the next thing about the therapy thing, I'll say this. I'll never sell you on anything because I don't think that's right of me to sell you and like, oh, try to bring you in. What I'll say about therapy and what it's done for me is that the first 10 years it helped me get through my horrible bout with depression. I'm diagnosed anxiety depression, and it helped me get through that. It helped me stay on the straight path. Right, and be able to achieve stuff. What I'm doing now is trying to understand why I do certain things. So, for example, I have a really hair trigger temper when it comes to internally. So I'll never express it to friends or family. You'll never see it. But when I make a mistake on air or I make a mistake doing a narration, I will literally get so tense, I want to throw my notebook across the room. So my thing is, I'm going to therapy now. I just came back from therapy today, actually, where I discussed, why do I do that? And why am I so full of temper like that, right? And then what are some ways to help that? So I think it's just practical where therapy helps me navigate things that are my flaws, that are really innate to mental health, so that I can be a better version of myself. As in reality, if I wasn't in therapy, I wouldn't be able to be as present as I am when I'm on TV, when I'm doing my content. I would just be so just balled up with all these different thoughts and not being able to express them that I would boil over. So in reality, therapy is allowing me to actually work harder and achieve and really be on that path. Because I mean, I'm like any other guy out there. I want to achieve. I want to lead. I want to be the best at my craft. But therapy is almost like fuel. Therapy fuels me because I'm able to understand myself and then understand where the pitfalls are.
It's like taking your car to a mechanic.
Right. Right.
Staying ahead of it so you don't break down. That's just like a caveman way to me say it is like, oh, I don't want to talk about my problems, but it's more of like understanding why you do things and why your body does things or the way you feel it.
Right. And it's also a great place just to express stuff and like just get all the, I call the garbage out, right? Like all the things you're thinking about. And I do it not just with a therapist, but I also like have like, you know, morning talks. I'll write things out. It's just good to get those thoughts out there. Here's what I'm feeling and why. Because when you confront it, you actually feel better when you're done talking about it. It's okay, you know what? I got it out. Now I have a path. Because my biggest thing is I'm not a fan of just wallowing in your own self-pity and saying, oh, woe was me, all this whatever. No, taking the therapy, you expressed it. Here's the route now to fix it. Therapy kind of allows me to clear the fog and figure out the route to fix my issues so that I can be more productive.
This is not as a deep a question, but are you still out there looking for love? Because wasn't that part of the shtick? Oh, well, not shtick, but wasn't that part of your persona? Not persona, just your posts?
Right, you're just being a bachelor in D.C. And people kind of joked and razzed at me for that, saying like, oh, you know, you're too old to be a bachelor. I go, well, I'm a single guy in a bachelor pad. Like, of course I'm a bachelor. Yeah.
Too old.
I'm too old.
Yeah. No, they just had a golden bachelor.
Right. It's like the bachelor.
65 years.
The bachelor. Like, I'm a bachelor in D.C. And I think that phrase was mainly to also talk about being just on your own, living on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
Like adulting. Not just about dating. It was more about, hey, here's how, you know, single guy lives on his own as a bachelor in his bachelor pad. But with dating, I am, you know, they say
it's different now.
It is. You know, they say gainfully employed. I'm kind of gainfully dating. Just like, you know, like
awesome.
I'm always dating. Has it worked out where I've seen a couple people beyond date one. I'll give it that.
Okay.
Like, and I am sort of just hanging out with a girl right now. That's, we don't know where it's going to go, but we'll see. Okay. Right.
It's got to be very difficult, though.
It is.
Because you don't know their intentions, at least right now. You could figure it out a lot easier before you became Tony P.
Oh, I'll give you an easy one. So I've been on about 5-6 dates where the date has asked me, can I post you to my story? And that's when I know.
And that's when you know.
That's when I know it's going to be one date. I'm already thinking about the check. Because like at the way I look at it is, I am not here to be a prop. And by the way, I don't want to be showing up as me filming my date. And like going, oh, I went on a date today. When I have a date, I'll film me outside of it. I'll film me like dressing before it. Because I will never, ever put a woman in that position where she feels uncomfortable or whatever. It's like, that's just totally unfair to her.
Well,
make her part of my Instagram.
And then when she's doing that to you, that's completely.
Right. It's both ways. I mean, I would never do it.
All right, Drag, we can't ask for pictures after this.
No.
Well, how do you separate that? Because, I mean, you can't walk down to Atlas Brewing down here without being stopped and recognized, right?
So we got pizza after
we love that pizza. Andy's the best. Speaking of Discovery people, we discovered Andy like 4 or 5 years ago when he came in studio. Very nice guy. Yeah.
We're the number three. I guess Washingtonian did this. We're the number three pizza place in the country now. I guess pizza like city. In the country.
Behind
New York.
He's got radio topics.
He's ready to go. I can't believe it.
Like he's a magician.
That is the good thing about being on social media every day is that you see what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're plugged in.
Or locked in, I guess my buddy David Clark would say.
So every girl your age, for the most part, knows who you are at this point. In this city, a lot of them. How do you tell...
What their motives are.
Yeah, I know. If you say they don't say, can I post this to my story? Are you able to tell quickly this girl is she's not into my celebrity status. She actually genuinely likes me for me, likes my behavior, likes the way I look.
Yeah.
How do you figure that out?
I think when I'm asking questions, I like to ask questions. I'm not a fan of talking over my date or just spending the whole time talking about myself. I hate talking about myself because it's that's just not how I was raised. I was raised to kind of always, you know, help, you know,
be mild-mannered.
Mild-mannered and also just ask questions. So when I'm asking, you know, when I'm on a date, we're asking kind of the usual questions. If she's really talking about, you know, her journey and really like getting into it and, you know, really being passionate about what she's talking about, and then they'll ask me some questions that are not content related, that are about different parts of my life, things like that. If we're having that type of back and forth, I know this, that this person is A, not impressed with my content career, which I'm, by the way, that is so attractive to me. Somebody who's not impressed with that stuff. I would, like, that's like, again, they can respect it, but not be, oh my God, this is so cool. Like,
again, it's almost like talking shop, like talking about work.
Right.
We say this. We say the same thing about women. We find it attractive. Like the thing nowadays is for women to be like into sports. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And,
but we find just because of the industry that we work in, we find it attractive when she's a ditz when it comes to that.
For lack, she's just not interested.
She's just not interested. It's not her cup of tea.
Well, right. Because
it's the same thing with you. I mean, content it is basically like work for you.
It and is.
And when she's talking about work, you just get disinterested.
Well, right. Well, also, I actually get interested when she's talking about her passions.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't want to hear about my stuff. I am more about, because for me, I'm looking for an equal partner. At the end of the day, I'm looking for someone that I can be a partner in life, that we can take on life together. And I would, it's so cool when, you know, I'm with someone, I'm on a date, and they talk about their passions. What are their dreams? Where do they want to be in 5 years? That is so much fun. And, you know, questions like, hey, like, what do you think is holding you back? What do you think is, you know, what is that dream? And because that for me is so cool, because when you're with someone for longer term, you want someone that has those ambitions, that is also on the journey, so you both can motivate each other to be better. And that's what I think is all about a great relationship. And that's where I've gone wrong, is that I haven't been the best partner at times. I've always kind of been just more of like, you know, I've love bombed in the past. I've been very kind of needy, things like that.
Have you been friend zoned?
Oh yeah, many times. Well, because I've been very needy.
Don't you look back at those times when you were in the friend zone and you just want to like
strangle yourself?
Like, say, yes. You idiot!
Yeah.
What were you
doing?
Because
I didn't show up right. Yeah. I didn't show up as the man I had to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like the shell of myself, where I was like needy and always clingy,
desperate,
and trying to just, you know, win people over by love bombing them, you know, and saying things that, you know,
do those people kind of reach back out to you ever since you became Tony P?
It's happened twice. But
you can sniff that out from a mile away.
Well, the same thing.
But he's not the type of guy that's going to gloat about it.
I know, but he knows what's going on.
I have become friends with those people again, and I love it. We've actually grabbed dinner here in DC once, and like, I'm not a vengeful person. Like, it just didn't work out. Like, every time you go on a date or a relationship doesn't work out, you are one step closer to meeting the one, right? I do think we all have a one. I think we do, right? And I don't think life's a rom-com, but I think it may be part of a rom-com, right? And I think that there's a special person for everybody. I think every time you meet someone and doesn't work out, that's a part of the journey. And I'm grateful that I learned about myself. I learned that I wasn't the guy I needed to be at that time, and that's why it didn't work out. And I'm all about just being, now I'm working on myself. My priest tells me all the time, stop trying to find the right person and try to be the right person. Mm. So I'm working on doing that and really working on those flaws.
He's a better person than us.
No,
I know that.
But like,
I love your outlook on life.
Thank you.
And I love how optimistic you are. I love how grounded you are, especially if you're your age. He's wise above his years.
Yeah, Tony, let me ask you about a relationship topic that we had on the Junkies this week, okay? So I have no idea what you're going to feel about this, but it was kind of it was split between the men and the women. And we don't have a lot of women around a sports radio station, but we have Savannah, who's our update anchor, and we brought her in studio. And I'm sure you saw this story that went viral about the woman on the plane who filmed the guy cheating on his wife, who a guy sitting a couple rows behind her was talking to another woman.
In the act of cheating.
And they were making out, and they were she was kind of eavesdropping, and she heard details about this guy's life. She took a picture of him and posted it on TikTok and said, Find his wife.
Yes. She needs to know ASAP.
She needs to know ASAP her man's cheating on her
with a random
woman on the plane. And she collected data, said he lives in Fort Worth. His daughter danced for the Astros one night. All kinds of details.
He's a surfer. He owns a company.
The internet found her in 2 minutes. So all the guys on the show, all six of us, we were like, that was so wrong. Men mind their business. A guy would never do that, would never try to get another guy busted. And then Savannah came in and said, no, women code is we have each other's back when it comes to relationships. Mm. The woman who posted a picture of the guy did nothing wrong at all. So it was this big, hot debate. We did an hour on it.
Ooh,
on the show. We had a lot of
calls, people on both sides. I've heard bro code before, but I'd never heard of woman code or women code.
Yeah, so I guess women code is that if you...
Your radar's always up to try and bust someone.
So I had a friend of mine that I knew his girlfriend was cheating on him.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, and I never told him. And I kind of regret it to this day.
Yeah.
But inside I said, Matt, mind your business. He'll figure this out on his own. Hopefully they don't get married, which they didn't.
Right.
And I kind of always regret it. But if my wife saw that, she would tell her best friend in a minute.
Right. Yeah, immediately.
And I was torn on it. So it was like the internet topic of, or, you know, the TikTok topic of the day. So what would you do how do you feel about a woman blasting another random man on the internet?
This is definitely the fault line of vibrant masculinity. Because to answer your question, and I get why you feel that way, because like your bros, like your ride or dies, like I would do anything for my boys, like mm-hmm. anything. And they would do anything for me. I think in that case, I would probably tell him that she's cheating on him, because I just think if for some reason he found out that I knew, I think we would be totally
even worse.
I think he would probably leave me as a friend.
Yeah,
the trust thing. Like, you should have told me. Like, I would have married her, and then you would have sat there and let it happen. Like, I know so many people that have had their friends come up to them and say, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't marry this person," and because it may not, you know, I don't see it. And then they get divorced 2 or 3 years later. So if you don't tell them, you don't have that information. If you have the information in your heart, you can't tell them. And let's say that happens, they get divorced in 3 years. You cause mm-hmm. maybe a little
you
bit of pain.
You could have stopped it. You could have helped.
Now, maybe not guaranteed, but you could have at least put the radar up, right? So I think when it comes to that, when it's serving, I think with women, again, it's more of a, again, like looking out for one another. I think we should, as men, adopt the same thing when it comes to looking out for our boys.
Right.
Like, if our boys are going to get hurt by this, we see a girlfriend cheating.
It's definitely selfish, right? Because what I was thinking was, well, my friend's going to get pissed off at me, and he's going to doubt what I'm telling him, and he's not going to want to talk to me anymore because he's not going to try. He's going to choose his girl over me.
I don't think so. I think if that person is your ride or die, and they've been there with you, they'll go, hold on, let me check in on this. Because, again, I think I love how women do support each other a lot. I think more than guys do at times. And I think we can be better as men supporting one another. My comment section
doesn't believe that.
My section is a great example of it. I'll see with other influencers on Instagram. Like, I'll see with like female influencers, there's a lot more support from women of each other. And I think we could do a lot better of just being supportive of one another in the moment and like being affirmative, but also busting chops. I'm a big believer in busting chops. I love it.
He was joning on the golf.
Was he joning on your putting game?
He played well yesterday. I had nothing to jone on.
I did play well. You mentioned comments. Are you the type of person that's going through and like kind of reading everything, or because it's got to be addicting? You kind of want to hear
back and forth.
The internet's a crappy place sometimes.
It is. Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you want to see those are your fans. So you kind of want to see what they're saying. You kind of want to be in the trenches with them, for lack of a better word.
I like to acknowledge the ones that are A, positive, or B, really funny. They'll make like a snide comment, and I know it's snide. It's all in funny, and I'll go, that's pretty creative. That's really good.
Like when they're talking about your penis.
Because that's
the big thing.
Let me announce this here. I will never, ever do what they're looking for. but you know what? Hey, here's how I look at it. Do I think it's inappropriate? Yeah, to a certain extent. It's not in line with the wholesome image that I like about my page. And again, the wholesome, genuine content. That's not what my intention was, to have that type of comment. However, if the guys get some fun out of it, if it makes them happy, they had a long day.
It's horsing around.
They had a long day at work, and they're like, hey, Tony,
they don't really want to see it.
Why not?
They're playing grab ass on the internet together.
Right. Like, if they want to, like, if that's how they laugh, get a good time, I'm all for it.
He's cool.
Because I'm about serving the audience at the end of the day.
So Matt and I were kind of thinking about this before you came in about, and you've done a great job of kind of addressing some of your career goals and stuff. But as far as Tony P in DC on Instagram, what's next for you? Like, how will that page evolve over the next couple of years? Do you envision?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I never had a strategy for the first 200,000 followers.
Yeah.
Now I think it's like 250 across the platforms now or something close to that. But I never had a strategy. So now I'm actually thinking about a strategy because I've hit my first plateau. In the last couple of months, I've kind of stayed stuck. And I'm debating, do people want the old stuff or do they want new stuff? When I try new stuff, people are like, go back to the old stuff. And then when
the old stuff, you're doing the same crap
so
over and over.
I'm definitely in a planning stage right now. I would like to continue doing the old stuff for the people that have been there, the 200,000 that are sticking around that like it. I want to give that to them, like the recaps and the fits. Those will never go away. The recaps will stay consistent. It's also good to have a content thing to have every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also it entertains people, gives them a little information about DC. What I will do eventually is start to really chronicle my journey to broadcasting. Because a lot of people like journeys on social media, like motivational journeys. I want to open up more about that. I want to talk more about vibrant masculinity. And what I actually am thinking about doing is like a man on the street type concept, where I interview guys about like their life goals, how they view masculinity, not like totally like straightforward like that, but like questions about, you know, how do they, you know, feel about certain things? How do they take care of themselves? Right. Like those type of things. And I'd like to be more of a storyteller and not just be doing the storytelling where it's like, I don't want to just be the main character anymore. I would like
you want to bring other people along with
I want to give other people some spotlight and be more of a witness and storyteller as opposed to the main character. I think that's going to be a future.
That's very selfless of you, by the way.
No,
it's also a good broadcaster.
Yeah,
well, it's about serving. It's about
listening.
Look at Dredd. I have never seen you so smitten.
Well,
in my life.
He understands
like
the game.
Like Jim Nance, like when Tiger won the Masters in 2019, he didn't say a word after the putt. And it was the best broadcasting move in probably 30 years because you could feel the moment. I would like to have other men talk about their view of masculinity. Because again, I talk about things like...
You want to create a discussion.
Yeah, vulnerability, gender equity. Like I think we need to be supporting, you know, women in their journeys as well as men, not just being kind of on the sideline. How do we talk about that in a healthy way? I don't think I have the right to be dictating, but I can have other men talk about their journeys as well. So I think I want to do that. And then finally, I am thinking about launching a talk show, a podcast as well. And maybe...
let's go.
And maybe doing it in the format...
Hey, do you need producers?
I love it. You've got any time. And I think about the format being of my hero, and he's right here on my phone here. My hero, Regis Philbin. Regis Philbin is my hero. And I have his picture.
Don't tell me. Oh, Regis is all on your wallpaper.
That's his wallpaper. Yep. No way. Yeah.
Regis Philbin is my wallpaper, folks, right
here.
Dude,
you are the real deal.
Well, the thing is, like, my dream, and if the content still exists in the future, my goal would be to kind of be a cross between Ryan Seacrest, Carson Daly, and Regis Philbin.
Those are three of my favorites. Regis was so good. I mean, the other guys are great, but Regis was so next level of like understanding the moment of it, whether it was...
He could adapt to anything.
Millionaire, his talk show, whatever he... Regis was so dialed in and like to be a next level broadcaster, you have to understand.
It's not just reading a teleprompter.
Like Jim Nance. Jim Nance understood the putt, right? And what it meant. Regis was the same exact way. It makes perfect sense that you would.
Regis understands.
I love Regis too. Rest in peace.
Regis understood people. So I talked to someone who actually hired him way back in the 80s for the Nashville show with him and Kathy Lee. And he was like, Regis understood people. He loved people. He loved his audience. So like that, the authenticity just radiated from him because he loved talking to people and inviting them into his story and inviting them into the world and being that first thing you saw at 9 a.m. with Regis and Kathy or then Regis and Kelly, right?
Yep.
Inviting you into that space. And he was so good at that. And I hope to get one eighth of that ability because he just had that authenticity that made you just so happy during the morning. My grandmother and I watched them together, and that would just help her get her day started. She'd be a lot happier after listening to Regis.
Yeah, you saw that, and you say, I want to do that.
Because I know what it's like to be down in the dumps and really have depression. And a lot of the times when I was first struggling, it was TV, it was the host, it was radio that got me out of it. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can help. Again, that's going to happen.
That's how. That's why we're in this business. I used to sit in my room and listen to Jim Rome. You know, like just sitting there listening to a guy do a talk show and him express himself, and you identify with it. It's the theater of the mind thing that we talked about. Valdez was the same way.
Same way. I would now it would be sports radio, but I would also listen to Opie Anthony. A big Stern mark,
yeah. Right?
And you, I was going to say you would. You're from Boston. I'm sure you know ONA's history up there.
I do.
Ironically, Valdez is a hero. Is Gilman from Regis's producer.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Drabs is Baba Booey.
Yeah.
Right. Howard Stern. I remember listening to Howard Stern, the old clips from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He got famous mainly because half his viewers hated him.
Yeah.
When people comment on my page and go, oh, you know, people just here because they want to laugh at you. I go, well, hey, Howard Stern's audience, half of them hated him.
Yeah, what's the line about these tell? The I'm sure he knows it. Yeah.
He knows. He probably knows the line. He's a broadcaster. Yeah. He goes, they said the people that like Howard Stern listen for 2 hours a day. What about the people that hate? Why do they say? I'm botching this. Why do they listen? Because they want to see what he'll say next. What about the people that hate him? They listen for three and a half hours a day. What's the most common answer? I want to see what he'll say next.
Yeah.
And the caller, like he would go at it with the callers, and I think that was so interesting. And again, it's not really my brand, but. And then the last thing I'll say, Shannon Sharpe had a great quote. Shannon Sharpe is absolutely killing it in this space. He's growing, you know, an incredible brand, First Take. I heard him speak, and he said, do you really think that I'd be achieving what I'm achieving if I had more haters than lovers? No, absolutely not. So like, yeah. And he was just so big about that. Like, again, like, you know what? You're laughing at me, but I'm laughing all the way to the bank. So Shannon Sharpe's attitude, I kind of go with because like, he's just so great. And he's a real legend in this industry. So
awesome!
You have a great attitude towards
it. Thank you,
Tony. I just met you, but I am proud of you because like I've been following you for a couple of years, and you haven't changed from the guy that was making those videos a couple of years ago. You are a good person. That's all I can say, man. That's very cool. It's nice to meet you. It's a pleasure. The pleasure is all ours for sure.
Yes. Thank you for coming in. We'll give you a tour afterwards and show you answer any kind of questions you have.
Can't wait.
This wraps up episode 133 of Bit Season. Tony, we really appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next week.
Cool. Later, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Cracked computer, leaky fridge? Introducing the future of tech care, where your home tech isn't just covered, it's taken care of. See the future of tech care at Asurion.com/techcare.